"Do you need help?" asked Phil. A slurred and mumbled response from an unrecognizable me followed with,
"Yes, but I don't think I'm worth it. I think I'm a lost cause."
Phil, a guardian angel of sorts whom I spoke to only once, whose last name I don't believe I ever knew, quietly said, "Nobody is a lost cause." Phil's 800 number had popped up on my computer screen. For some reason, unknown to me still to this day, I called it instead of taking the mixture of pills in my hand that I was certain, based on foggy, drunken internet research, would kill me. I could not stop drinking. I physically and psychologically simply could not stop, despite the fact that it had destroyed my life. I could not understand why. I should be able to put down the drink. I should be strong enough and have enough willpower to stop. I was educated and intelligent, yet could not outsmart this. I had veered so far from the person I once was that I could not look at myself in the mirror. If I happened a glance, it was full of self-loathing. My morals were non-existent. I was a drunk, a liar, a manipulator, a failure as a mom, a failure as a human being. My priority list was short and included only vodka. I was disgusted with myself. How could I deserve any help? Is redemption even possible when one has gone so far off the grid? Sobbing, I tried to relay my feelings of hopelessness to Phil. I was lying on the floor of my walk-in closet with my 1.75 liter of vodka, my laptop, and my phone. In my 5,900 square foot home, the closet was where I spent the majority of my time. People joke about closet drinkers. My alcoholism had made my life so small and I had become so isolated that I was a literal closet drinker. I was horrified at what I had become, yet was clinging to the bottle because it was all I felt that I had left. Phil assured me that there was another way. He must have stayed on the phone with me for 2 hours. An attempt to solicit rehab business turned into a suicide intervention. At the end of the phone call, he had arranged a rehabilitation placement 2,000 miles from home that would accept my insurance without any money down, as well as a plane ticket and a taxi to get me to the airport. It was a whirlwind. I stumbled about my home, throwing random things in my largest suitcase while continuing to drink. I called the only person who was still taking my calls, although warily, Mom. She encouraged me, as always. "Just go, Carla," she said. She pleaded with her voice filled with tears, anger, and frustration. She told me I was worth it and that she would never give up on me. She asked me what I had to lose by going. Absolutely nothing. I had already lost it all. So I went.